Life support is nominal. The oxygen danger indicator level is yellow. Please remember that this is a non-smoking pirate ship.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. I'm John Breeden, your chief lounge lizard and your host for this episode of the show. Today, we are going to be talking about games of the year and everything good and amazing from 2014. And speaking of good and amazing from 2014, joining me this week in the lounge is a whole full crew. We have Neil Sayanovich, our online editor. And I won't call you a prodigal editor because you haven't been on our show in like a year, but welcome,
Neil.
It's
good to be back.
Absolutely. It's good to have you back. And it's good to have you back and not have you sound like you're at a World War I biplane race. So,
hey, don't dog on the races. They were entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely. Joining us also all the way from Destiny is Michael Blaker. Michael, welcome.
I've been taking a break. I've been trying to take breaks from Destiny because it gets a little bit – it's been infuriating the last week and a half. So I've been trying to take breaks from it. But, I'm here from the West Coast as well. So hello, everyone.
That's cool. And I'm sure you will I'm sure you will recommend Destiny for at least something on the Game
Probably
of the Year Awards.
One or two things.
Most likely. Also joining us first time, we tried to have him in last time, and due to technical difficulties he wasn't able to, but he's here today. James Churchill, all the way from England. James, welcome to the lounge.
Hello.
Today.
Thank you. Yeah, it's all good.
Absolutely. It's good to have you. We've been reading a lot of your you've been doing some reviews lately. They've been really interesting and insightful, and so we're happy to have you along. And
happy to be here.
James, good. And James is a good friend of Shella, and if Shella says that James has a lot of interesting opinions, then you know she means it. So welcome, Shella, to the lounge today as well.
Hi, always good to be here.
Always good to be here, and especially with Game of the Year. So I know Shella, you take the Game of the Year very seriously. We're glad that you're here to give your 2 cents worth. So just as a thing, so just so everybody knows, anyone can vote for a Game of the Year. We're one of the only publications that throw it open to the readers. So anybody can nominate. There's no academy. So these people that I'll be talking with today, you know, they'll be begging and pleading with you to pick the games that they think are right. But you can either take their advice or say the heck with it. I'm going to put my own thing up there, you know. So it's up to you. And you just go to GameIndustry.com and you can take our survey. And that is the nominations period, which actually by the time you hear this will be starting to close soon. So get your nominations in quickly so we can move to the voting phase. All right. With that said, let's get started. Let's look at the different categories. We tend to break things down into categories here at Gin. One of the first ones is my favorite category, actually, is role-playing game. So let's go with who wants to talk about role-playing games? Let's go with James. You are the new person, so why don't we bring you in for this one? What do you think? Are there anything we should be looking at for role-playing games as a nomination in 2014?
I mean, I think there are two ones for me which I spent a lot of time with. One which was quite a surprise, which was Bravely Default for the 3DS. I actually think that was one of the better JRPGs that's been released in recent years, because there are elements that kind of fixed a lot of what, you know, not to say was wrong, but could be frustrating about JRPGs. So random battle encounters, you could actually control it and actually go, look, mm-hmm. I don't want to grind at the minute. I just want to explore, get onto the next level of things. And, you know, there was just a lot of different mechanics like that they introduced, which were actually really good ideas. And then the other one I'm going to have to go for the comedy vote would be South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Oh, God.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I played that one and I had a lot. And I'm not a South Park fan, but that was a really funny game. And it was like you were playing an actual D&D game. But it was, you know, it was hilarious. And it was a solid role playing game. That's a good one. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it was quite clever in the way that they kind of knew the tropes and the audience that would be playing, and they really played with that just throughout the whole thing. And like you said, I mean, it's one of those things that if you're not a fan of that type of humor, then you just won't get on with it at all. And it's not for kids whatsoever. But, you know, it's one of those things that, especially if you are a fan, you'll get even more out of it because.
No, absolutely. I was just saying, because me not being really a big fan, and there were moments in that game where I was really almost falling off my chair laughing. It was so hilarious, you know, so, yeah. And a good role-playing game. What else does people want to say? Neil, you probably want to bring up, I know the one you're going to bring up, but I'll let you do it.
Yep, that's how you know I've been here too long, when you can read my mind from a couple states away. I'm actually going to say Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13.
It's actually, it wasn't that bad. I liked it a lot.
The first two of the series were really, really Metacorp. Rough. But yeah. They did a good job with Lightning Returns with the, you know, do things to keep that clock going or the clock runs out on you. The way combat was fluid but yet kind of turn-based. And they did a really good job with the story as well, with the character development from the other games. The characters grew. They changed. It wasn't, like, staticky. Like, you didn't, like, no, like, they were dynamic. And it was good to see how they did with the artwork, and it was just an overall solid game to end out kind of a rough series.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, cool. Shella, anything on the role-playing front? I don't know if you played too many role-playings this year.
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, good enough. Well, then what we'll do is we'll move. I will mention one that I think was really good, and that was Dragon Age Inquisition, which I would say is probably the running favorite for that category. I would guess.
Not be surprised.
But just a really solid game, and compared to the previous Dragon Age games, which I liked myself, but just on a scale, it's just such a massive game. I mean, massive environment. I mean, every single one of those little areas that you go to, I say little areas, it could be like its own game. You know, it's you know, I think I've been playing it so far for like somewhat close to like 80 some hours, and I think I'm maybe 20 or 30% away into the game. It's pretty crazy.
Sounds like Dragon Age.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
And you have the strategy aspect of it, of how you're going to handle certain events, and you actually have that world control that's kind of like a risk game.
Yeah. And that's probably, believe it or not, that's probably my favorite part of the game. I love going to the strategy table and be like, okay, we're going to attack here, and here we're going to send spies in, and here we're going to send our diplomats, and seeing how things work out. And when things go wrong and you screw up, you're like, damn it, I knew I should have sent the troops. Stupid diplomats couldn't handle that situation. It's kind of cool. So I like the elements they put into it. Okay, let's go to Best Adventure Game of 2014, because this will give Shella a chance. We have a pretty broad understanding of what an adventure game is, so it's pretty much kind of almost a catch-all category. But it's also a game where it's not really a role-playing game, you know, where you're developing a character, but you're having an adventure. And it seems like a lot of the games that you played, Shella, this year would fall into that category.
You know what? I did have an RPG.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We talked about Dragon Age and you fell asleep. Okay.
I had Child of Light.
Oh, yeah, that's what you mentioned.
Child of Light. Good one. That was a very pretty game, and
I had a really nice system as well.
Was that the one where you could play two player on the same console?
Yeah,
right?
Where you could be the little dot of light, sprite thing. But it had that sort of that bar where you could see the power build up of your foes, and you could affect those. So it was quite clever. It had, you know, it had a new twist on the what could have been a really irritating JRPG with just really pretty graphics. But yeah, they did something nice with it, so I liked that. And you could, like James said of the game he mentioned, you could avoid the random battles. You know, you could see the things and sort of just walk past them if you wanted to. So yeah, for people who really love their turn-based battles, they could go for it. But if you just want to get on and do stuff, you could. But yeah, I actually enjoyed the battles in Child of Light. It was good.
Yeah, I thought the two-player thing was very clever. I played with my wife, and I played the bug, and yeah, it was neat. It was a little frustrating. The bug isn't very powerful, but you know, he could come in and like you say, affect.
Yeah, he could really change a battle, yeah. Though. So I thought that was great. Yeah, because you could slow down the creatures of darkness, couldn't you? If he sort of shone his light, yep. And stuff. Yeah, he could turn a battle around. So.
As long as the person who was playing the player followed suit.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing?
I'm holding this guy back. Shoot him.
I think as well, like Child of Light, it just had an absolutely gorgeous visual style. And I mean, and it's weird with this in this year because there's been quite a few adventure games that have done that. And it's kind of that interesting thing of, okay, we're not talking ultra realism in terms of like how good graphics are, but more in terms of actual artistic style and visual style. And I think Child of Light was something that really sort of proved that, I think.
Yeah, we're seeing that a lot. We saw that trend, that whole graphical trend with, it's not really hyper-realistic graphics like Shella sometimes says. You know, it's not the rust on the side of the toilet. It's a hand-drawn style that we see a lot, you know, or at least it looks like a hand-drawn style, but it's realistic enough that you know, when you first see it, you're like, oh, I really appreciate that it's an artistic work and it's a hand-drawn style. But as you play, things are enough like reality, you almost forget, you put it in the back of your mind, and that's kind of just the way the world looks to you, you know? And that seems to be something, I think that started with like, what started in earnest with like Borderlands, the way that they did it. And then I'm seeing just a ton of games, you know, the Telltale games, the Walking Dead and stuff. They do that a lot.
And it's like, I mean, Ubisoft, I mean, for all the weirdness that they've kind of had in the last year, you know, the smaller parts of Ubisoft seem to really be running with that, like with the UbiArts engine and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, Ubisoft has been impressive with, I mean, well, let's get into the adventure category a little bit. So, Shella, you got to play a lot of adventure games, and I'm looking at some of the ones that you reviewed, and a lot of them were Ubisoft titles, oddly enough. So which one of those do you think, or any of them?
It has to be Ubisoft.
Sponsored
by Ubisoft this year.
Yeah. Yeah, the adventure category is sponsored by Ubisoft. Now, so what are you thinking for adventure? I mean, this must be a hard category for you.
Yeah, it is, because I suppose, obviously, if we're talking about Ubisoft, we've got to have Valiant Hearts, The Great War in there, which was a lovely little game. You know, it wasn't a perfect game. That, you know, there were some issues with tone, in some of the sections, but overall it was a really sensitive, you know, if you said about 6 months ago, yeah, video games are going to do this commemorative thing about the First World War, palm moment.
you kind of feel it's going to be like a COD expansion or something, yeah, like that.
Exactly.
Totally misses the point.
Just with horses dying or something. Cash in on War Horse and just throw some horses
in it. We could have Todd be like, it's a good amount of carnage, but the reload time sucks.
So yeah, that was a really beautiful, sensitive little adventure game. It looked gorgeous. There was The Vanishing of Ethan Carter. As well, I suppose that's an adventure. Is that an adventure game? What is that?
No, I would say that's an adventure game. What about Rain? Would you throw that one in?
Rain, was that this year or wasn't that last year?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was this year. It might have been on the
console. Yeah, it might have been one of those January ones.
So I can keep the Ubisoft train going. Because this series is always half adventure, half shooter. I want to bring up Far Cry 4.
Yeah, I was going to say that as well. Far Cry 4 is definitely fun on the adventure, or at least exploring. I like exploring in the Far Cry 4 game.
So, I mean, every Far Cry game has been like that, and I mean, 4, I wanted to play 4 so bad I got to play bits and pieces of it, and it's just a series that keeps getting better.
Yeah, I for that category, following up on sort of what Shella said, I was looking at, it's such a broad category, it's a hard category. For me too, because like I got down to, I was looking at, okay, the Valiant Hearts and then Far Cry 4. Those are the two that I'm like, God, which one do I want?
How do you pick
so different?
Those?
I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think I put Far Cry 4 in for some other stuff. I put it in for, environment, for example, and so forth. So, so I ended up putting Valiant Hearts in as my nomination for the adventure game. But yeah, I could see Far Cry 4 taking any of those categories. That was a fun game. And that was one where, you know, based on the number, just compared to other AAA titles, I mean, it didn't get as much play, I don't think. Like, Watch Dogs, everybody was like, oh, Watch, you know, there was so much advertising and so much.
There was so much hype for Watch Dogs, and it just didn't live up to the expectations.
Oh, and Far Cry 4 is so much of a better game, you know, and you almost heard nothing about
it. Considering that, like, Far Cry 3 was so well received by critics as well.
Well,
like,
I mean, even back with that, Far Cry 3, you know, it had that good spike, but then it just kind of fell off the map. People get, I'm not sure if it's like ADD or something, but people have like this Call of Duty Battlefield mindset, so they'll play Far Cry for a little bit and go, I'm bored, I'm gonna go just randomly spawn and start killing people. And then they get off on the other games, or Far Cry's launches just tend to coincide with the arcade shooters, I like to call them, and they lose playability because of that.
That's probably it, but
yeah, I think Far Cry 4 is definitely a good one in there as well for adventure game. Although, you know, here again, you know, with the whole category thing, you know, we wrestle with this, you know, how do we do that? You know, the movie people don't seem to have a problem with it. You know, they know what a drama is and they know what a comedy is.
they do, but
but I mean, at least they kind of know their categories. I mean, with us, it's like okay, Far Cry 4, it's an adventure game, it's a shooter, it's arguably a role playing game, you know. But
thank God we're not making music categories.
Oh God, yeah.
That's true.
It's interesting around the metal section on that one.
Well, let's move into the shooter category, and I'm gonna let Michael take the lead on this one because I'm guessing that he also considers Destiny to be a shooter.
As for the shooting, as the gameplay for shooting, just as alone, not taking anything else about that game, the gunplay or gameplay of that game is definitely hands down one of my favorite shooters I've ever played because I'm still playing it. But there are many other issues with it. But if I'm looking purely at the shooter aspect of it, it definitely is my game of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably have to agree on that. I mean, the competitor is going to be Call of Duty Advanced Warfare on that.
It's Call of Duty. It's been what, the 11th or 12th iteration of it.
Yeah, but I mean, the last Call of Duty Ghost kind of sucked.
I stopped playing after Modern Warfare 2. I played that with my brother, and I was like, yeah, this is boring.
But here's the best thing about Call of Duty. It's still the same. Advanced Warfare is just prettier weapons. That's pretty much it.
That's the kind of thing I say to everyone, is that, like, when everyone asks me, have I played the new Call of Duty, I'm like, well, yeah, because we all have. You know, we've all played it already, you know?
That's true. Well, are there any shooters other than Destiny or Call of Duty that we should be considering?
I actually haven't played it because I don't have an Xbox One or a PC that could play it. But I've heard that Titanfall, the gunplay of it was also quite cool and quite fun. Although it did fall off the map because it released what, in March, I think.
Yeah, it was March.
It was really early in the year for a shooter.
It had like massive hype and then it just disappeared.
Well, it disappeared, but I think in the case of Titanfall, it didn't really. I think everyone who owns an Xbox One pretty much owns Titanfall at this point. I think they do, like, well, we don't need to market it anymore because it's like the. I mean, just looking. I mean, I'm sure everyone for the Xbox One category probably nominated Titanfall.
not to beat a dead horse, but I mean, I'm gonna bring up Far Cry again because Far Cry is usually. A smarter, it's more adventurous shooter. It's not about the how many kills can I rack up or how many assists can I rack up. It's about a story, but at the same time, you're putting these interesting situations with like real light characters. I mean, even looking back at 3 with Voss and how well that game was and how that story went, it was a shooter that made you feel like you were in the action, not that you were just some drone. So it forced you to actually think as opposed to, if I die, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it also had more than just shoot. You know, there are hunting missions and things
stealth
like that,
and
stealth and rescuing people. You know, liberating hostages, and you flying around in a helicopter and or a truck, and you know there were different ways you could approach the situation. You could go in like the A team, you know, bust through the gate with your captured truck and start people, or hell, ride an elephant into battle and knock people over with the trunk. I mean, that's pretty awesome. You don't get to do in a shooter too awfully much. So yeah, and these elephants are tough. I always got sad though when my elephant gets killed. You know, I'm like, damn it.
And then the movie went from an action movie to a drama movie.
Yeah, I know. It's me crying over my elephant. So,
and then probably skinning it for the bait.
Well, yeah, I did. I'm like, he was a good elephant. I love him. Well, these tusks are so much.
No barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, strategy game. What are we thinking on the strategy game category? I'll open it up for anyone who...
Can I nominate, like, Hearthstone? Because it's not a typical strategy game, but in the meta game of it, it's very strategy oriented, but it's also really easy to get into. And so I'm going to nominate Hearthstone for that.
I think that'd be fair. A lot of people play Hearthstone. It's one of those games that it kind of lures you in with the. I mean, it's a card based.
It's a free to play card based strategy game. Yes, you can buy card packs or whatever, but you don't have to do that. In fact, like, I spent just $2 in the beta for it, and just to get like the exclusive card that you can't get any other way, and that was it. And then, you know, I play it every like the first day of every month to get to the new card back for it, and then I stop playing it. But you know, when I have like a lot of free time, which I haven't had in months, I'd play it, you know, for hours, and it's strategy, it just makes you think. So I think that'd be a good one for strategy.
No, absolutely. You're totally right on that. And I was just going to mention that the graphics, you know, the graphics, you know, obviously they're hand drawn animation or whatever. They're really beautiful. It's really cool. I mean, I think that's one of the things people like about Hearthstone as well. Kind of cool. Go ahead, Shel.
Banner Saga, does that count as a strategy
game?
It's
I mean,
kind of
there's
strategy
one of those ones,
lights, isn't it? Because
I could almost
do it.
Adventure.
Yeah, I'd back that as well. Banner Saga is amazing.
But
Banner Saga was beautiful. I would even consider Banner Saga for best environment. I thought it was just a beautiful environment
the
that they created.
Yeah, the immersive thing, because all the little, you know, the crackling of the fires, and then you get these kind of Viking songs that they sing as they're walking and stuff. But I usually hate strategy games because I associate strategy games with you're just like over here making something for some people, and then it's like, oh, your soldiers are hungry, and it's like, there's like a famine back at the village. It's like, people, I'm trying to lay the sewage.
And fucking white.
It's like spinning plates, and I hate it. But Banner Saga, it's just enough strategy for me.
And John, you know, it's not a normal year for me without me playing some kind of war strategy game. So Supreme Ruler Ultimate. Yeah, I'll throw that in there as well, because that game always forces you to think, and it does have the sandbox environment, which is really good until you're like me and pick Croatia and go, I'm going to take over the world, and then Germany sits on you.
Yeah, the neat thing about that one was the Ultimate, Supreme Ruler Ultimate, was you could start at World War II and take your pre-World War II, actually almost World War One, end of World War One basically, and take your country, whatever country that was, be it Croatia or the United States or England or whatever, and take it and bring it all the way through to like modern day, like 2020, or it kept going past that. So that's a pretty wide range of history for somebody to be able to.
I think the last year you can go to is like 2200 or something like that. But let me assure you, for most countries that aren't the United States, Germany, you know, the big countries, even when you start in World War II, it's still World War One, because that's what technology you have.
So it's 2020 and you're like, okay, let's get our single shot rifles out.
Pretty much. It's like trying to knock down a brick wall with toothpicks. It doesn't go very well.
I see. So it's a metaphor about what's wrong with the modern society, I guess.
We'll go with that.
I wanted to bring up one, Civilization Beyond Earth, which was Sid Meier's return to fame, and beautiful game. It's pretty much like Civilization 5 in space, but still really, really nice and different. I don't know if I liked it as well as the one that it's based on, although not really because they couldn't get the rights back from EA, Alpha Centauri. But it's a really good game. I think people should definitely consider that. I know a lot of people are voting for it.
I do want to bring up two others as well. I got to tinker with them a little bit. The Total War games had a revamp this year, both Shogun and Rome. I'm a big fan of Rome Total War. The first one, I played that game so much I had it on memory of where I needed to go and who I could use. But while they were still good, the Shogun one preceded its prequel. Rome kind of fell short, and that kind of made me sad. The gameplay was just a little bit off. But still, both games were good enough for mention because they're still great strategy games and historical lessons as well, because Total War does make their games historically accurate.
Right. Makes sense. All right, on to the what I consider the most fun ones. These are open to everyone. We don't have to argue about categories and everything. And I'm going to let each one of you weigh in on that. Which game? And this was actually two categories involved here. One is, which game do you guys think in 2014 had the most immersive environment? And secondly, which one do you think had the best story? So yeah, look at that. You got to think. So Michael's all like, immersive, I know. Oh, story.
There goes half the games.
Yeah. Well, no, because I like stories, and I'm going to say Far Cry 4 for both of them. I actually picked it up with the PlayStation 10% off code.
Cool.
Because, you know, the PSN went down around New Year's because of the Lizard Squad jackasses. I heard they got arrested, so yay. Some of them got arrested so far. Others are probably running, so whatever. But I got that, and I've explored only the first half of it. I've gotten like 4 missions in, and then I just stopped doing the missions and just started exploring. And I've explored like the first half of the map, and I'm still getting lost, and it's fun.
Have you gone underwater yet?
Oh, God, those fish scared the hell out of me.
Terrible fish.
And I didn't even know there was alligators in the game until yesterday. I got eaten by an alligator. I was like, what the heck? Yes, there's an alligator?
Yeah, an alligator pulled me out of my freaking boat and down into the water and killed me. That's how I learned alligators were in the game. Welcome to Far Cry 4.
Yeah, or the eagles pick you up and throw you off a cliff.
Yeah, I've never had an eagle pick me up, but I saw
an eagle do it to someone else.
I saw an eagle pick up a pig and fly off with it. I was the weirdest freaking thing. I'm like, oh my god, there's an eagle flying off with a pig.
Dog. How big are the eagles? The size of a Volkswagen?
They're huge, and they're really annoying.
So if no one knew this was a gaming podcast, they'd think it sounded very strange. Like, I saw an eagle pick up a pig!
And then the eagle dropped the pig, and it landed on somebody's Jeep, which then wrecked.
Sounds like Goat Simulator.
It almost is. So, Michael, good choice on that one. Shella, what do you think? And I know story is a big thing for you. What do you think?
Story, it's a difficult one. Perhaps The Vanishing of Ethan Carter. Because I liked the ambiguous ending and it left you thinking. I haven't finished Banner Saga yet, but I'm finding it quite hard to really empathize with the characters very strongly in the Banner Saga, so I'd say The Vanishing pips that.
There were a lot of games this year where you were like, you went into them, I mean, based on reading your columns and stuff, your reviews, where you went into them thinking this is going to be a really great story, and then you came out like, the story was just terrible.
Sort of like hard to please when it comes to story. Well, I really don't see why I should judge games by a lower bar than I judge other storytelling mediums. It really needs to step up.
Makes sense. James, what are you thinking on story and environment?
Environment for me is easy. It's Alien Isolation, without a doubt.
Scary game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the design of that whole environment in the ship, in the game. It's, I forget what it's... it's not the Torrens, that's the one you're going on. Sevastopol, that's it. It's just phenomenal. Like, it is just some of the best level design I've seen in any title, like, ever. It is...
Well, has any other game? I mean, we talked briefly before the show about PT, but as far as full games, has any other game really like made you get anywhere close to crapping your pants as far as being afraid?
Oh, several, but I think I mean, it depends on like what kind of horror you're speaking of. I mean, my favorite horror game ever, I'd say, is Silent Hill 3, but that works on a far more subconscious kind of intellectual level, I think, but. You know, it's kind of more human despair, like your psychology is your own downfall and there's nothing you can do to stop it kind of horror. But, I mean, I think, weirdly enough, I would actually say some of the indie stuff, like Amnesia, would be one that's definitely up there. And Alien Isolation was absolutely terrifying, but in a very, very different way. And it managed to sort of expand that over a longer period, really. But as for story... I was actually quite surprised when it didn't get as good a reception as it should do, in my mind, which was The Walking Dead Season 2. I actually really loved the second season of that. You know, because it was kind of strange, because everyone raved over the first one, and quite rightly so. And I think that Season 2 is a real hard act for Telltale to kind of pick up, given, I mean, I won't spoil anything, but what happens at the end of Season 1. Right. And I think they did an absolutely superb job, especially in episode 3, where there's an absolutely horrific moment, but you kind of actually kind of sympathize with the characters who are doing it. And it's, I think when you're, you know, visiting something that horrific and brutal, but you're actually getting some sort of sympathy from people, I think it's just fantastic writing, but.
Yeah, that's interesting you bring that up, for a couple things. Number one, I want to talk with you, James, about Silent Hill 3 at some point on another show, because it's I also have given so much deep thinking to Silent Hill 3, you'd be surprised. So it'd be interesting to bounce that ideas off you. But with The Walking Dead, so our guy Billy White, he reviews all the Walking Dead stuff for us, and he's the same way. He raved about Season 1, and then, you know, Season 2 was like, it's just for him, it just wasn't as good. And I think a lot of that was shorter episodes and things like that. But I don't know if maybe he didn't really consider the story aspects of it quite as strongly as you did.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think it's like anything. It's just very subjective. You know, it's, you know, like all opinions are. I mean, I think it's just sometimes after that first season, like, you're always going to be comparing the second one to the first one. That's just natural, because it was just amazing. And I think it's because you're controlling Clementine in it, and the way she behaves obviously is very different to the first game. And I think that sometimes it's that kind of attachment to a vision of a character that people go, oh no, she's this sweet little girl who's still got her innocence. And it's like, no, she isn't anymore. and you know, I really liked that growth.
No, I could see that. I mean, that's almost kind of like the growth of the character, not to bring it up again, but in Silent Hill 3, you know, where, you know, she's sort of like this innocent teenager at first, and then she kind of falls to the depression of the world, as you continue to play. So, Neil, what do you think? Best story, best environment?
Well, it's actually still in the horror category, but rest assured, Shella, it is not Silent Hill 3. I'm actually going to go with The Evil Within.
You like that game a
Yeah,
lot.
It did an amazing job with the, it was disturbing. It was difficult. It was disturbing. It had a good story, and it was disturbing. I don't know if I can highlight that enough. Your save point, the guy almost gets lobotomized.
Okay.
Sounds like a game I never want to play. I don't do horror, so.
Yeah, I mean, just the beginning, I mean, you can actually read my review of it. I describe some of the beginning of it. Your guy gets nicked with a chainsaw, so he's limping as he's being chased. You're dodging saw blades, because it's like the new Tomb Raider did, where they have different cutscenes. If you do certain things, not just you died, they have different cutscenes of your guy going through the razor blades.
Okay.
And yeah, and so you're running from this maniac with a chainsaw, and you're falling down, you're dodging fan blades, and all of a sudden you lay in this giant pool of blood and body parts. It's just like, I've been playing this game 10 minutes. Are we serious?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting with The Evil Within, because I so wanted to like it more than I did. Like, if that makes sense. I love parts of it, but there are other parts I don't like as much.
It was also really difficult. I mean, I can't count how many times I pop four or five bullets in something's head and staring at me, and I'm going...
Oh, yeah, no, that part of it I loved. I loved the fact it was challenging. And also, like, you're right, I haven't seen a game that blood-soaked in a long, long time. I mean, I think for me, I don't know. I mean, again, it's just all subjective, really. But, you know, I just couldn't gel with the characters or the story. I just didn't like it that much.
And the thing that was effective is that, I mean, yeah, it was blood soaked and all that, but it wasn't just like some games was like, oh, hey, there's blood. I mean, they actually made it kind of like, okay, I want to get out of here, like, right now.
Oh, yeah, no, it was really good at doing that. I think it's just because, I don't know, some of the mechanics, I just felt it was, I mean, you could tell it had Shinji Mikami's name written all over it, due to the Resident Evil 4 engine, but, like, they were kind of like sort of Last of Us stealth sections that just didn't feel as, like,
yeah,
at times.
And there were some clunky controls, but, I mean, story-wise and especially environment, I'm giving my vote to Evil Within.
Oh, visuals were amazing, definitely.
Okay. Let's talk soundtrack briefly, before moving on to the actual full Game of the Year stuff. Michael, would you have a nomination for soundtrack? I think
yep,
I know what you're going to say, and I...
Yeah, well, I was going to say Destiny. However, the fact that they fired Marty O'Donnell removes that from the category, because the person who worked on the first game will no longer work on any future parts of the series or DLC for this game, and that kind of takes it away from me. So I was going to say, just the GTA 5 remastered with the added radio soundtrack and everything else. It was actually amusing enough. Doesn't count? Oh,
no,
well, it's my first year.
It's
not
the original score.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'd have to say Far Cry.
Okay, no problem. Shell, did you have an idea? Did you have an idea for original score?
Yeah, I'm kind of torn because The Vanishing of Ethan Carter had a fantastic score. It was a lot about the spaces between the score that just added to the tension. So that was lovely. And the Child of Light also had a beautiful score. There was some really sort of lovely piano work and, just lots of lovely textures depending on where she was. Torn between those. I don't know. Maybe the Vanishing pips it just because of the atmosphere it created.
I was going to say, Michael, I picked Destiny. I didn't know about the whole fire controversy,
no.
So I didn't realize that. But my wife is a huge Paul McCartney fan, so she's like, you have to pick Destiny, even though his
song
isn't, like, played in the game anymore.
No, it is. It's
it?
During the credits. it's the oddest. It's the weirdest Paul McCartney song I've ever heard. That it's just awkward. It's really awkward.
Well, have you seen the video where it's like Paul McCartney sitting there and then the Destiny characters sit down and listen to him sing?
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that, but yeah, no.
He's sitting on the edge of the mall, Paul McCartney is, and he's singing, you know, with
oh, yes,
like,
no, I've seen that one. Yeah, no, that,
okay,
that,
yeah,
that
yeah.
was, that was, then, that was hilarious.
Like all these hunters and titans come in and sit down and listen to him sing. It was weird, but I thought it was cool that they made the effort to go out and get a bona fide, you know, rock star type person to do an original song for a video game.
That's interesting.
Cool.
The song itself was really odd, though.
Well, sure, but all right. Okay. Oh, and then I do want to mention. Favorite character, male and female. Shella, what are you looking for that one?
Favorite character, female. I'm probably going to go with Aurora from Child of Light, simply because she was a little girl who was a hero on her own terms. She didn't have to become a boy to be a hero.
And also, she wasn't. Remember, what was that game last year with the kid who was? And he was just, he turned out to be really annoying.
Oh, from Ni No Kuni.
I wanted that game to be so good, and it just turned out so bad.
I liked a lot about that game, but yeah, that kid was, he was just an idiot.
Oliver. I think his name was Oliver. Right?
Yeah. He was such a dunce. It was a wonder he got to B8. But
So compared to the Child of Light, yes, much.
Because she's really strong and independent. She doesn't need anybody else until she needs them, kind of thing. And, you know, she can work with people. She's got loads of positive traits about her, but she's kind of proud as well. She's a bit of an Alice in Wonderland kind of character. And I just like the fact that she wore a dress. She had long hair. She was, you know, she had a little crown which said foe, which was marked foe on the inside. So she was a princess, but she wasn't your traditional princess. And I just liked what they did with that character. Because of that. And then male, although I haven't played the game, I've done a bit of research and I've had a look at lots of the cutscenes, and I was thinking, what's it called? Where is it on my notes? Infamous.
Second Son, yeah. Delson Rome?
Yes, that's it.
I was torn between Delson and Pagan Min. And the only reason I'm edging Delson more is because I've actually played the entire game so far.
But he looks like a great character.
He is a pretty great character. And depending on, like, I actually liked him if he go good.
Yeah.
And generally, I like the characters when you see them go evil. But when he's evil, he's just like, yeah. I don't like the character because...
Yeah, because he's like that charming kind of overconfident, and so you want him to be good, but, you know, that's his kind of negative element, as opposed to him being full-on bad. It doesn't really work then.
Right.
Because you don't like him enough.
It's really hard to have a character, male or female, who is bad that the people kind of like. Like, for example, like the Watch Dogs main character.
Aiden Pierce.
That guy... Oh. Yeah, he came off as kind of a dick.
He went around the city stealing everyone's money, and by the end of the game, he had like $60 billion from everyone. It's like,
But even in the cutscenes and stuff, when he's talking to his sister or the social worker and stuff, he just
had no redeeming.
He's just a He just always has the jerk response, and you're like, damn it, why are you the main character? I don't like you.
You know who made a character that was so bad, but you liked him? Far Cry 3, Voss.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bad guy that you hated, but at the same time you were enthralled with.
Yeah.
Well, and they so tried to make Pagan Min like Voss this year. They did, I mean, and he's just not quite as good, but yeah, I mean, it's hard to get a character that good.
Real quickly, I do want to jump in, because I got skipped for the score. I do want to hop back, because I do want to mention Dragon Age Inquisition had a good score, as did Evil Within.
Okay.
So, I mean, both those, I mean, two completely different kinds of scores, but both did really well. Dragon Age, you know, it had that Skyrim, Oblivion... It had the Bethesda sound to it.
Sort of epic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I liked it. James, what about you? Any thoughts on characters?
Oh, female. Weirdly enough, I hadn't even thought of the male ones, actually, because my favourites were female this year.
I had trouble getting a male, that's why I had to.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously, I mean, I did like Amanda Ripley in Alien Isolation, but I think I'm going to have to go with Clementine. I mean, purely for kind of the reasons I outlined earlier. But she's so capable, but there's just something inordinately likable about her. And she just struggles and struggles and struggles and never gives up. And there's just something wonderful about a character who does that. But in the end, it still takes its toll on her. And I think that's amazing. And male, I'd probably say maybe Rook from Banner Saga, actually. I really like Rook. Actually,
Rook was pretty cool. I liked. Given that, you know, I think we're allowed to consider remakes for this category, so I would say for me it would be Trevor again. Oh, for you know, Trevor in HD.
That's a
but he's so insane. He's so insane.
But he can get 2 years in a row.
Yes.
That's the thing. I did think about doing that as well, because it was funny, like, last year I was playing, I was like, Trevor and Clementine were, like, my two favourite characters, and I was like, they couldn't be more different, but Trevor's just, they just didn't put any stops on him at all. Like,
no. When there's like, from the moment you meet him, it's like, ba 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 to the very end.
But,
like...
yeah.
But the strange thing about him is that in that first cutscene, you know he's the most intelligent character in the game, and that's what makes it so dangerous, and that's what's brilliant about
him. And here's the weird thing. Unlike the main character from Watch Dogs, which I think universally nobody really liked that much. Trevor is a jerk to a lot of people. He's crazy. He's insane. He does insane stuff, and we all love him. We think he's the greatest guy ever. So that's pretty clever. All right. So let's do final question. Since we are running way long. Game of the year. What game should get nominated for game of the year? If you had to pick one, because I'm asking you to. And we'll start with Neil, and then we'll go to Michael, and then Shella, and then we'll give James the last word. So Neil, you're first. What was the game of the year for you this year? What do you think people should consider?
Well, after juggling a couple of the games, I mean, it's hard because a lot of these games I see and nothing. With the exception of two or three games, screams game of the year for me. A lot of them say category wins, but nothing really shouts out game of all the year. The only one of the only three I can think of, and the one I'm going to go with, Far Cry 4.
That's what I'm going to go with as well, Far Cry 4. I didn't get to play Dragon Age Inquisition, which would, according to all of my friends and everything else, they say is absolutely amazing. I just didn't get to play it, so I can't really consider it. So Far Cry 4 is mine as well.
Makes sense. It was interesting when I was talking to the Ubisoft folks, and they were talking about Far Cry 4, and they were saying they hoped that Far Cry 4 got picked this year for Game of the Year, because apparently last year they were like with Far Cry 3.
Blood Dragon last year?
Yeah, one of them. They were like, "Oh, we got looked over for it." So we're hoping to make it with Far Cry 4 this year. So I don't know. It looks like a good choice and for that. Shella, what do you think? What are you looking at?
I haven't actually mentioned it yet. Just because because I got skipped on Atmosphere, so I probably would have mentioned it then. We didn't do Best Mobile. But I'm going to go with Monument Valley. I thought that was a fantastic game. It was, it's a small Unity game, and it's just so beautiful. The level design is absolutely ingenious, and it's really relaxing and kind of meditative and beautiful, and you must play it. If you haven't played it.
And it's not very expensive.
I know, it's
either.
So that cheap, and it's, you can just play it on your phone and whilst you're waiting for a bus or whatever you're doing. And it's a great, great game.
Cool. So play the game and miss your bus. All right, James, your first time in and first time out. So what are you thinking? You get the last word. What is your choice for game of the year?
I'll just put a quick honorable mention for PT, because it's some of the just because it's some of the most intelligent horror design in a long time. But that's for another day. Right now, I'm tossing up between Valiant Hearts or Walking Dead, but I think I'm going to have to go Walking Dead Season 2 for me.
Oh,
yep.
Wow, okay.
Valiant
cool.
Hearts isn't game of the year.
Oh, but it's so good.
I said fighting words.
Yeah.
We got through the whole show without a fight till the very end, Shella. Thanks.
we're hanging out the weekend, so we'll take it. We'll take it
outside.
We'll take it down the pub.
Yeah.
Let's see.
So what we'll do is we'll get the nominations all counted, and then we'll open it up to voting. And once the voting begins, then we can all come back and do another show and comment on all the nominations that got through. I'm sure there'll be some crazy ones in there that you'll all be like, "What are they thinking?" But it'll be cool. That's what happens when you let the public do their thing. We'll see what
and
they
before
think.
Before we go,
we'll
can see. We make one more honorable mention? Just to annoy Shella, Silent Hill 3.
Silent Hill 2, it's like a lifetime achievement award.
can we make like a new category, like most disappointing game of the year? There'd be so many entries.
But,
yeah.
But
I think Todd has that market cornered. He always does his games he hates.
I'm not far behind. I'll be throwing every Call of Duty and Battlefield game I can find into that category.
Yeah, me too.
And I've been disappointed long enough with those, so it's no longer a surprise. But I don't know for me, but
kind of like
stuff.
All right. So anyway, on that note, you can find us. Just come to GameIndustry.com, and you guys can vote nominate. The nominations will be closing very soon, so get your nominations in so that we can talk about your thoughts for craziness in the next show that we do on Game of the Year stuff. You can also find us on Google+, Pinterest. We're on Facebook. We're all over the place. You can find us, but just come to GameIndustry.com, and you can get to everywhere else from there. Until next time, thank you to my esteemed panel. I appreciate everything you've guys said, and as much as you've considered it and as much as you've thought it out, you still only each get one vote. So too bad for you, but maybe your influence will get some other people to vote your way. So all right, until next time, everyone, thanks again, and we'll see you right here at GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. Take care, everybody, and may the best game win. We'll be right back.